from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
That is, of course, Holiday by Madonna. In honor of Drew Holiday's big game in the NBA Finals last night.
Yeah, let's be honest. If you're Milwaukee, how the hell did you let that, him end up in Boston? I guess you cannot say you can't send Drew Holiday to Boston, but that was a critical piece for the Celtics to obtain. That's a good summer of work if you can get Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah, the Milwaukee thing is interesting because, I mean, you know when you're sending him to Portland, he's going to get rerouted somewhere. Right. You don't know where he's getting rerouted, but he's getting rerouted to a team that thinks they're a contender.
Right.
And so you're getting rerouted to a team you might see. Maybe you don't see the Boston thing specifically, but if not Boston, it's going to be Philadelphia. It's going to be, you know, somewhere else. But you got to worry about yourself first. And they thought that Lillard, the offense of Lillard, putting Lillard and Giannis together was going to put him over the top. And there was reason to think that. They took a gamble on it, and it did not pay off.
Who would you rather have on your team if you were Milwaukee? Lillard?
It's a good question because, I mean, Lillard has been like a one-man offense. And so the idea that was going to be spectacular with him and Giannis together, there was reason to think that. Lillard is not, for me personally, Lillard is not my favorite kind of player, whereas Drew Holiday is very much kind of my favorite kind of player. And so that's a little bit hard. I'm not going to kill Milwaukee for what they did. There was a logic to what they did.
One of the things I was just talking to Dan Devine, and one of the things we were talking about was, I look at this series a little bit through the prism of the Grizzlies. You imagine the Grizzlies on this stage, and what you just see is Ja Morant is going to be just hunted, relentlessly. Anyway, in the regular season, he's a liability defensively, but these two-way players are gold. And I mean, he was talking about it with respect to Zaire Williams. It totally makes sense they took the swing on Zaire Williams, because if you could have a guy who's 6'9 and can run the floor and can guard and hit threes, there's almost nothing that's more valuable. I mean, a superstar is more valuable.
Right.
I do wonder, when you think about the Grizzlies and competing at the highest level, I mean, they have wings, and they got GJ and they got Vince Williams. Does anything you see shape what you think of, you know, what needs to be added or emphasize what you've thought, underline what you've thought needs to be added?
Well, I'm just wary of looking at whatever's happening right now and saying that has to be emulated or that has to be reacted to.
Yeah.
I do think Vince Williams and Gigi Jackson have the ability to be those kind of versatile two-way players who can play in any kind of series against any kind of matchup and can impact both ends of the floor. Neither one of them has done it in meaningful games,
right.
Let's be clear. And Gigi Jackson's 18 years old, so you can't assume too much, but they both look like the kind of players who can grow into those roles in the way that you hope Zaire Williams would be. I guess my thing is to sort of get back to what I've always thought about the Grizzlies, where I've been. Like, right. I think they need more size and more shooting, sort of, period. Not right. just at one position, but sort of across the board. And, you know, this is why it doesn't solve the shooting thing. That's one of the reasons why I've been a little bit higher on Ron Holland than other people relative to the draft, is because I see his 6'8 athleticism being able to defend multiple positions and have that. If you look at, like, all the perimeter defenders Boston can throw out there to match up with different teams. I think the Grizzlies can't have too much of that. So that's one of the reasons I've liked Holland a little bit more than other people, maybe.
It makes you question a little. Well, I mean, you and I have both wondered where Dillingham would fit here, for example, if he's a guy who falls to the Grizzlies.
I
even Reed Sheppard, like that's a dinky. Yeah. I don't think I could get to him anyway, right? I don't think Reed Sheppard's going to get to him anyway. But it is an interesting, you know, I'll tell you what, a guy you like, you can totally see Stephon Castle existing in that universe last night, right? I mean,
the best case scenario for Stephon Castle is Drew Holiday.
Yeah. You know, that's right. Yeah,
it is Derek White. It is that. I will say, like, when you look at different, like, player mock drafts and player rankings and stuff on, like, reputable sites, one of the comps you do see for Reed Sheppard, and this is not my comp, I'm not saying I agree with it, right. One of the comps you actually do see is Derek White for him. I don't really see that. I think he's more of a point guard.
Right.
I think he's more likely to be, like, you know, some blend of Steve Nash and T.J. McConnell, like, somewhere in between, or like a Fred VanVleet or that kind of thing. I do think he's probably more of a point guard. But he does have some get after it defensively, where he's been able to play sort of above his physical makeup a little bit.
I wish I knew what the Grizzlies thought, I mean, about anyone, but about Donovan Clingan, right? Like, is he the clear difference maker who can slot right in, who they really would value, who they would even move up to get? Or is he not, like, and then how much does it fit into the broader stylistic question? Or
look at Porzingis right now. Porzingis' right. game has changed because of the knee injury stuff.
Yeah.
So when he came into the league, he was a guy, like, he would be the ball handler in the pick and roll, and he'd be doing stuff with the ball and all of this. He doesn't really do that anymore. But he's a 7'3 guy who, like, and I know he didn't have a huge game last night, right. Boy, he did in game one, but he's still part of that Boston story this year. He's a 7'3 guy who's, like, a major, like, presence at the rim defensively, and he can dunk the ball. We've seen that. He can finish plays. He can post up a little bit, but he's not great at it. And then, but he's got that. He's able to knock down shots from the perimeter if you leave him alone. So the question with Clingan is, can Clingan develop that? Like, he's looked good in, like, workouts shooting that shot. I don't know if I believe in it, but if you believe in that developing. Like, Clingan could be a player pretty similar to what Porzingis is now. Not to what Porzingis was entering the league, where you had higher hopes for him then, but the player Porzingis has developed into, you could see Clingan being a similar kind of player to that.
All right. In terms of what we have witnessed over these first two games, what strikes you?
I just think Boston's defensive ability across all five positions. It's just... And the fact that Dallas only has two guys who can create shots. And that hasn't mattered, but it matters now.
Right.
And so, and that's the one thing. Like, I think the Grizzlies will probably get swept by the Celtics too, right?
Right.
Like, but the Grizzlies do have three guys who you can give the ball to and do something with. Whether you want to call Desmond Bane or Jaren Jackson the third guy,
right.
That's a way better third guy than anybody Dallas has. I do think that the fact that Dallas just is so dependent on those two players, and that Boston's uniquely equipped to just make it hard for those guys, and you don't have a third place to go. Like, after the game, on the postgame show, they asked Josh Hart, like, what's your adjustment? And I'm not saying he's even wrong, but I sort of laugh. He's like, you know, they need to run offense to PJ Washington and Derrick Jones. I'm like, that's your path to an NBA title? Like, good luck, you know?
Jason Tatum, and we had this question earlier, is it going to be the superstar team or is it going to be the team? Well, it does help when you've got those guys around you, right? So
that's right.
It'll be interesting to see. I don't know what the narrative is around Jason Tatum after this series. I guess the narrative will be, he'll be holding up a trophy, and that's right. And that's what matters.
What's going to happen is they're going to win.
Right, right.
If they lose,
it's a disaster.
Tatum's not good enough to be the guy. If they win, it becomes like you don't have to have the one dominant guy if you have a great team. And I love that. I mean, I'm not like rooting for more titles for the Boston Celtics,
right.
But I love the idea of someone who like really like, I mean, I remember Magic and Bird, but my real like weaning on the NBA, my real transition to being an NBA guy was the Bad Boys Pistons. Like, I like those teams. I like teams that are not dominated by one guy. And so I've always rooted for those kind of teams, and they've always come up short, you know? I rooted for the Weber, Vlade, Peja teams, and they came up short. And I rooted for the Reggie Miller, Mark Jackson, Rick Smiths, whatever, Pacers, and they came up short. I've always rooted for those teams, and they always come up short since the Pistons. And so this Boston team's not going to come up short. They're going to win. And they got five guys who are all good, all playing at the same time, and they don't – and even Tatum, I know he's made all NBA teams or whatever, it's pretty clear that he's been elevated in part by being on a really good team. He's a really good player, but he is not a superstar-level player.
So the Dan Devine, who was just with us, said that he's gotten a lot of heat for this, and he's saying they're not the same player, or even the same caliber of player. But he actually made the comp between Jason Tatum and Tim Duncan, in the sense that they are quietly doing all the things that winners, you know, winning teams do, and don't need to be loud. And I'm not going to speak for Dan. I got the sense like Tim Duncan was more the fulcrum of those teams, though, than Jason Tatum is of this team. I don't know. You're a Tim Duncan aficionado.
Well,
what do you make of that?
Some of them. I mean, by the end, when it was more Parker, Ginobili, Kawhi, the last Spurs title team. But Duncan, I understand that. In terms of San Antonio was very like team oriented. It wasn't one guy who was having to have a 30% usage or whatever. But Duncan was probably the best defensive player in the world, in addition to guy like his 23 and 10 or whatever. It's just a different level of thing. Yeah.
All right. You've got another piece up at the Daily Memphian that I wanted to call people's attention to, because it's really an interesting story. It is, what's the name of the, I'm looking here on my notes. It is the Von, I never went to see it. I never went to see the pop. Oh, here we are. The Baron Von Opperbeen and the River of, something.
Time.
And the River of Time. So I never went to see this pop up during COVID. Honestly, it was incredibly hard to get in during COVID. Tell us the backstory and tell us what is happening.
So Christopher Reyes is a local artist, sort of multimedia artist. He's a guy, most people probably don't remember this, but it was a big thing at the time. He was the guy who did the Live from Memphis website, which was a website that sort of really got the entire Memphis music film scene together into one place. He's done all kinds of other like installation art kind of stuff. He's sort of a filmmaker-oriented guy, but also really good at just crafting physical stuff. But he did this installation. It was in 2020, and he started working on it before COVID. So the idea was that it was going to allow more people than what ended up happening. COVID limited the attendance, but he worked on this installation at Off the Walls Art Space near downtown in 2020, and it was called Baron von Opperbeam's Exploratorium of like Science, Magic, and the Multiverse, I think is what it was called. Mm-hmm. And it was just this sort of adventure play space. It was built out of recycled, reclaimed materials, and it incorporated lots of like film projection stuff, storytelling stuff. If you haven't been to stuff like this, it can be kind of hard to explain, but this is a real growth industry in sort of the entertainment world, this idea of experiential entertainment. And that can be anything from escape rooms, which are just ubiquitous now, to like big stuff like Meow Wolf in Santa Fe, which now has expanded to Denver and Las Vegas and other places. A real canary in the coal mine is City Museum in St. Louis, which a lot of people have been to, which is more tactile and more low tech, but it's the same kind of thing, just really creative spaces for people to physically explore.
Right.
And like there are big things like this all over the country. Memphis has not really had anything like this. And Chris built this thing at Off the Walls in a 2,000-square-foot space for a temporary installation as a kind of calling card, a kind of proof of concept. This is what we can do with almost no budget in this small space. If we can raise money to do it for real, we can do Memphis's own version of Meow Wolf or City Museum or whatever.
So you went?
It was a huge hit.
You went?
Oh, yeah.
And you take the kids kind of thing?
Yeah, I went. I wrote about it at the time. It was fantastic. Everybody loved it who went. Now, it was limited because of COVID. It was a two-month thing, and you could only have, I think, 16 people in at a time. But it was a hard sellout. You had to have a scheduled appointment, so you couldn't just walk up. But the whole thing was a hard sellout. Like, every hour of every day for 2 months was a sellout. One of the people who went was future Mayor Paul Young, who I spoke to in the article, who loved it.
Uh-huh.
And after that ended, Chris has spent 4 years trying to find a new space and investors to do it for real. And he was probably, I think, probably a foolhardy mission to try to put it in the Mid-South Coliseum for a while. He's looked at other spaces around town. He's talked to various investors, and he's got something together now, and they're going to try to do it in the former Mississippi River Museum at Mud Island. They signed a 5-year lease. They have a 6-month window to get it open, and they're going to transform that old river museum, which has been closed since 2018, into this sort of immersive, like, playground experience. They're calling the River of Time, and they're going to build secret rooms and tunnels, and you're going to build a story function around it and all of this. And, you know, it's the kind of thing that Memphis is not used to, so it's hard to explain, but like, right, stuff like this has been a huge success in cities all over the place. And I think, and Chris has a proof of concept in his back pocket. Look what I did 4 years ago, and look at how much everyone who went loved it. You know, this can be done.
Well, it's interesting. Like, the City Museum is one that I think a lot of people have, probably the people listening right now, there's a fair number who, if they've been to St. Louis with kids, you go to the City Museum and it's fantastic. And so that because you can sort of think of that. You can clambering around in this place and the, like, tactile museum, a lot of fun. I honestly lost my kid in the City Museum for about an hour. I could not find him. I don't know which one it was at the, I don't reflect. But anyway, so we think about that. And you've heard all this over the years. Well, maybe we could put that. There's been this desire to have a City Museum-like place in Memphis that I've felt for a while. So this is going to be in the old Mississippi River, in the museum at the on Mud Island. I don't even know how long that thing's been closed. You reminded
2018.
It was closed in 2018. Yeah. You reminded me. I remember the steamship. It was in the Firm. Tom Cruise was running around in that museum during the Firm.
Yeah, there's a brief scene. There's a long scene where they use the monorail.
Yeah, I remember that scene.
But there's a scene inside the museum,
So it's going to be, it's got to be up within 6 months. It's a 5-year lease. But then the story, and again, people can read it, the Daily Memphian, mentions that, like, he has not been able to get necessarily the funding that he needs yet. That this has been a little bit of a tough sell?
Yeah, there's two things. They had sort of held off a little bit recently on going after specific funders until they had a contract in place on a spot.
I see.
For a while they were trying to get funding, and he had sort of frustrating experiences with it. And then they sort of held off on that until we can actually show you, look, this is specifically where this is happening. And now that they have a lease in place, I think they're going to, you know, meet with and try to find specific funders. But they're also doing this, and it's kind of a crowdsourcing thing, but it's not donations. He's very clear about this. There's this site called WeFunder, and the way it works is if you give money to it, it's an investment, not a donation. And so a percentage of their revenues are going to kick back to the people who invest through this system, and up to 2 times, this is what he said, up to 2 times what you put in. So if you make a $100 investment on their WeFunder, you might get, if the thing's successful, you'll get paid back up to $200 on it. And you can obviously do more than 100. You can do $1 million on it if you want to or whatever. But they're doing a crowdsourcing thing that it's not donations. It is investments. If it is successful, you will get your money back and then some on it.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.